Good to see everyone. Thank the Lord we're able to be here. Hectic things happen to us, and it's been hectic these first couple of days, but we're still going. All right. This will be our last evening for the book of Colossians, and my last night of teaching this month, so we'll see if we can crowd in some final words upon this chapter, or on these chapters. We're going to pick up in chapter 3, as we covered the first few verses on chapter 3 last week, but get our thoughts back together. So if you will pick up, I'll just pick up with verse 1 and read down through verse 11, and there's several things in there we want to remind ourselves of. Because I try to bring out all of the teachings that Paul was sending to these people and to encourage them and to help them to remember. They became Christians. They became a follower. They became a part of the body of Jesus Christ. And so they needed that encouragement. And the things that were happening to them happen to us all of the time in our lives, and we have to overcome and stay strong and remember who we are and who is our King and who is our Father in heaven. So, let's pick up with chapter 3, verse 1. I'll be, of course, reading from the New King James Version. If then you were raised with Christ, let me back up on our thoughts into chapter 2, the freedom from the doctrine of men that we talked about there, and freeing ourselves from that, and of course that is remembering to turn toward Jesus Christ and stay with what we were once baptized into. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Now chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. These words are very plain, very understanding, I believe, for us as we just read the scriptures. He asks the question then, or brings a statement out. If then, after these things, you have had to go through these things and turned away from the world, became part of the body of Christ, of the Lord. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now we have to remember, and we'll say more about this a little bit, we have to live on this earth, we have to live in this world, and we have to do things that are contrary to the beliefs and positive of the devil, really, as he leads us into these temptations, leads us into following things or seeking great things for ourselves through mankind. So we have to be aware of those things. We have to live in amongst all of this, but we have to remember who we are, and we've been washed and cleansed from the earthly sinful things of this earth, and even some that we might have to partake of. Still, we have to be able to overcome those and not keep the Lord first in our minds and in our lives. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetous, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised for an uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. As we study and grow in our lives, Christian life, we understand most of this. But I want to ask the question, is there any one point in there that you want to try to understand a little better? That's what we're here for. Any one of these points. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, put to death your members, which were once worldly, which were once of another, and he's talking to the Jews, which were once, as we talked, what they lived through, were the prophecies and such, and as we are studying with Brother Dale through the silent years, we can see probably how so much of that Jewish religion they added to and changed around to their own benefit, a lot of it. That's kind of what I can read into it a little bit because of the different aspects that went on. Because we know by the time of Christ and he was here, they had switched around some of their own laws that they wanted to make it rougher here and there. Yes, ma'am.
Passion?
All right, let's see. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, and evil desire go together. Passion is actually pretty well the same thing as evil desire, but one carries more. If you have a passion for whatever is evil, that means you have an interest in it, you'd like to be a part of it, but you let that build up in you, and the evil desire comes out of that then, which is more deep. That evil desire then drives you on. For example, if you have a passion to be rich, no matter what, you have that passion within you, and it gets a hold of you. Well, I'll just put it in simple, plain words, but it gets hold of you, and you start having this evil desire then to obtain that. And in doing that, you strive and you strive and you strive to make more money, become rich, or whatever the case might be. It might be something really simple, some of the things that you might be lust or after something or whatever. So I know some of you can explain all this much better than I can, but that's the basis of it. John?
Well, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe what's being suggested here is inordinate passion. And
right.
Cross-referencing that with other scriptures that reference passion, is inordinate passion. It's insinuating homosexuality. Here, because as far as you know, just passion is concerned, as we would say it, you know, looking at fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. I'm going back to King James on these.
Right.
So, I mean, fornication would simply be, you know, heterosexual passion. Or uncleanness outside of marriage, holy matrimony. Uncleanness could be any number of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the inordinate passion, or just passion, I personally believe tying that with other scripture would be talking about homosexuality. And cross-reference I would give to support that. Different Romans.
One. I'll go ahead and read it.
Yeah, Romans 1:26, yeah. For this reason, God gave them up to the dishonorable passions, for their women exchange natural relations to those that are contrary to nature. So, passion being used there by Paul in Romans 1:26 coincides with the same words and verbiage that's being used here in Colossians.
You're exactly right. I went off on one example, which can also lead to that, the lust of or wanting to be. But if we look at all of this, as you kind of brought up here, we start out with fornication, uncleanness, passion, and that's leading out of that. And all of this is true. The scriptures fall into that. And I have notes on that. But when we get down to idolatry, we see that how that part of it can be one note I had on it was it brought that out very clearly of some of the things that you spoke of, but homosexuality, bestiology that was going on, and just on down to the very filth of mankind and what they were doing, and this all accumulates and comes forth. Dale?
We also, given the references, cross-referencing in Romans, cross-referencing in Thessalonians even, there's reference there, and then where it specifically talks about passions and lustful passions. And these are all in Colossae, Rome, and Thessalonica are all also
right.
Centers of idol worship. And one of the centers of idol worship had to do with sexual immorality.
Right.
Regardless of male, female, or
that's right.
Brother. And Paul even writing to the churches of Galatia in chapter 4, references in talking about formerly when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
that's the point we're trying to make here. That's the point when he goes through all of this, he says back in verse 5, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. And as you brought forth, we refer back to Romans 6 or Romans 8:13 and Romans 6:13 telling about put to death these things. Put to death these your former life and the things that you might have been in or whatever or could be in. Anyone involved with these communities that was growing here in Colossae and Ephesus and places like this, they saw what was going on. They knew what was going on. There were the Romans coming in and all of this. They knew about it. And they had to overcome it, whether they was involved with it or not. But they were being tempted into a lot of this stuff by teachers trying to intertwine it into the gospel, the way I understand it, and fool them. Yes.
Not just teaching, but it was also social status.
Yeah.
And business. And how much business you were able to
right.
do in a particular town by what you're standing in the local temple.
All right. John, go ahead.
I do have a question, and this could be answered by anybody. There at the tail end of verse 5, it says, which is idolatry. Do you feel as though that in saying which is idolatry, is he speaking only of covetousness or any and all of these phrases? Because I definitely can see that anything that is above God is idolatry. So you could, with fairly good confidence, make any one of these earthly things idolatry.
That's right. It does. I agree with you there. Anybody else want to comment on that? Anything in our life, I don't care what it is, that we let become a guiding rule in our lives that is not guided by God and what God has created for us, it becomes an idol to us. I mean, even down to the Sunday paper, you'd rather stay home on Sunday morning and read the paper. Well, we used to teach about this all the time, rather than come to church. Well, you know what? Staying at home and living a good, easy-going life has become an idol to you, really. We can let our jobs become that. I've brought this out many, many times. Then I worked with a fellow that was really super, super religious in another denomination. But it came to give up going to church or giving up his family, whatever, he could come in, work overtime, make more money. That's what he did. But let's fast forward a little bit. Somebody talked to him about that. He said, well, we're building a new church out there, and all the more money I can get, the more I can donate to that. I said, well, okay. But that was his soothing excuse to be able to do that and forsake the assembly of what they call the assembly of the Lord, which was wrong. Anyway, any other comments? Do you agree with me that just about anything we get built up in our lives to not worship the Lord, not worship the Lord in the way we should, forsake the Lord, that is an idol? All right. Okay. Any other questions on those fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, covetousness? That covetous comes right in with what we've been talking about. Okay. So, then in verse 9 he says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You think about those things, you go to bed and sleep about them, and we see how important the life of Christ is, because God is the one that created us. God is the one that breathed the breath of life within us. So what kind of life are we going to have within us if God did it? So we have that soul, we have that zeal, we have that zeal to please and to live according to the one that created us. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So that's who we follow. That's who we follow. That's who we became a part of. And he says, that's who we're supposed to follow. And we do. All right. Now the next section we want to try to get into here. Put on the new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, that's what you are, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, what is the basic thing about doing that? We talk about it all the time. Within us is the love of God and the love for our brethren, the love for mankind. If we're trying to show them the way and teach them the way of Christ, of God, that love is the basis of it, kind of. But it has to be there. Without that, we don't, you know, what I'm referring to is that so many times you get into problems in a congregation, and the first thing you know, there's hatred. There's hatred among them. And that's not what God created in us. We must have the love for them. If we never change them, you still love their soul. You don't love their ways, but you love their soul. Yep.
And Paul, as he does in the day, all of his letters, he says, yeah, you need to put these things away.
Right.
That are earthly. He doesn't just leave it there. He says, now that you put that away, fill up that empty hole with these things that lead you to draw you to God. Draw you to God.
I think that was a couple of scriptures I had. You can follow through, like you said, in Paul's writings. He had the same ideas in teaching people about how strong they should be, how great they are in the Lord, and what has been done for them. In Romans chapter 6, verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness of sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. And on over in chapter 8, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And that's pretty well along the lines you're talking about, I believe. Jesse. John? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's serious. But it is serious.
Yes.
All right. We have about 3 minutes. I'd like to just put a wrap up on this. I want to me, this book, you can read it, you can study it, and there's so much in here applies to us. The example that is set out of the false teachers and stuff, we deal with day after day after day. a lot of times. So it's just a good chapter for us to study, to be wary of, and help us in our stability as Christians and growing. All right, in verse 12, I'll just read through these rather quickly here. They're pretty well. He says, "Therefore, as the elect of God," that's who we are, "holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against you, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also." Let's jump ahead here. Verse 17 then says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And of course, three verses there, actually the rest of the chapter. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." You can add the words "as fitting in the Lord." "Children, obey your parents, for this is all well-pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." "Servants," this all goes down, his acknowledging. Teaching, "knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he was done, and there is no partiality." 1 minute. So, in chapter 4, in verse 2, he says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us." And of course, he was in prison this time, and he just liked to know that there was many, many hundreds and thousands of Christians out there that were trying to do what he was doing. But he says, "That I may make it manifest that I ought to speak as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Which simply means we need to study, we need to learn, and so on. Any comments? That closes our chapter. I encourage you to continue to study it always as we study the Lord. Yes, sir.
In verse 13, it says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another."
Yes.
"If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do."
You must do. That's right.
"Many times we've seen people that go to worship at the same building and not even speak to one another."
Yep.
"And claim to be worshiping God. One go in one door, the other go out to different doors, keep from having to speak to one another. That's not a Christian, that's not what God says. We must bear with one another, forgive one another, God forgive you."
I know of a case not very far from here, a little ways from here, that is a brother and sister became that. And they would not even get close together in church. They both kept coming. Wouldn't speak to one another, wouldn't have nothing to do with one another. Until the evangelist came in and just simply chewed him out. And that dear brother, they changed their views and life went on okay there. All right, anything else? Thank you so much for bearing with me and my tongue tied and this and that and the other, but we had a good class. It was good for me to kind of get back in the saddle here as long as I can, so. Thank you so much.